Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
I look at you all, see the love there at sleeping, while my guitar gently weeps. I look at the floor and I see it needs sweeping, still my guitar gently weeps.
Meep, 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 meep.
Thank you for being low on that.
I feel like maybe you could tell. I look at the board and I see it needs sweeping for board wipes. Yeah. You know, we can make this a white themed song. What's up, everyone? You're watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. We are talking about the partner commanders from Commander Legends, but we've decided to split these videos up by color. All the partners in Commander Legends are monocolored. So this is going to be the episode for the white partners. There are 8 of them.
Get it? The white album?
Uh-huh. Yes. You got it? You got it. They already knew it.
There are 40 new legendary commanders, 8 in each color, so we're covering... With partners. Sorry,
there are 70 total.
There's 70 total, yeah. But before we get into it, we're going to be talking about a lot of cards today, a lot of combo potentials, a lot of sweet brews. You're going to want to get your hands on those cards. And the best way to do so is by going directly to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Type that into your browser. That is the URL you need to go to. And that's all you need to do because, bam, you're there on Card Kingdom and you're about to purchase all of the cards that you need to build these awesome decks. You're going to get Commander Legends booster packs if you're looking to draft it. You're going to buy anything that you want from the new partners. Or maybe you need to pick up an old partner to partner with the new partners. It's Partner Mayhem. The place to go to trust is Card Kingdom because they're going to get you cards really fast. They also have an amazing buyback program. So if you're looking to trade in some old cards and then reuse them and use that credit to get new stuff, Card Kingdom is the perfect place to do it. They'll grade your cards and make it a really easy and painless process. And then you get new cards. There's nothing better than that.
And also, once you get those cards, the big thing you want to do is make sure that they stay in pristine condition. They stay near mint. Nothing gets damaged. The best way to do that is to immediately put all your cards into Ultra Pro sleeves. Their sleeves are going to protect you like nobody else. Put that deck that you built into an Ultra Pro deck box, maybe something from the Mythic Collection or a Satin Tower. Ultra Pro is the company that Jimmy and I trust with our own personal collections, our own cards, to keep them safe, because you don't want to lose that value of something getting damaged. And they really are the ones you can trust.
And they've been in the business the longest.
Yeah, they've been doing it
forever. They know what they're doing, and that's why we trust them.
And the final way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/commandzone. In fact, we shout out one lucky patron every single episode. And this episode is dedicated to
Logan Ham.
Logan, you rock.
One last thing. Right now, we are running a final Kickstarter of the year, and we're doing something we've never, ever done before, and that is sleeves for your
sleeves.
Decks. Look at the sleeves. We were just talking about sleeves by Ultra Pro, and these are manufactured by Ultra Pro, but with custom Game Knights logos on the back. We have two styles. One is sort of the sort of like playing card style with the Game Knights logo, and the other is the iconic
Only one may stand.
Black sleeve.
Yeah, these are made also by Ultra Pro using their Eclipse, their Chroma Fusion technology. If you watch the Kickstarter video, you can see I try and do the stretch test with our own sleeves and I cannot pull them apart.
Yep.
So they're made super high quality. The big thing to note about this Kickstarter that's different than Kickstarters we've run in the past is this is a limited quantity item. We had to pre-produce all of our inventory. It's sitting in boxes downstairs. So as a result, we only have a certain number of sleeves that we can sell, and then we're just out of them. So head on over to that Kickstarter. The link's going to be in the show notes. Sooner rather than later. I mean, we can't even actually tell you at the time of recording this video if they're already sold out or not. Hopefully they're not. Hopefully there's enough. I mean, we did get quite a few, but they're going to sell out at some point for sure.
Yep.
So get on over there, make sure you place your order, because once that inventory is gone, well, that's all we have. So that's all there's going to be.
Yep. And the sleeves are great. They have great shuffle feel. They fit, you know, perfect fits as well if you need to double sleeve your stuff. So definitely the way to go. Check these out. I'm really excited. I can't wait to actually put some of my decks into these.
Yeah, they feel great.
They feel great. Okay.
All right.
Moving on. Commander partners in white. Every single one of the color cycles in the partners follow the same pattern. There's one mythic, one rare, and there's six uncommon commanders for 8 total of each color. Obviously, these are partner commanders, so they partner with the original partners like Thrasios, Timna, all of those. So we're not going to talk about every single one of those each time. There's also new partners from this set. We'll mention them when we think it's cool, but make sure you have that list handy because, you know, with a lot of these, you can take them any direction you want, which is the exciting part about it.
There are like thousands of possible combinations between yeah. all the partners, so we can't talk about them all.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with the first one.
It's the mythic one.
Yep, it's the mythic one. It's a Chroma Vision of Ixidor. I want to say right off that in the next game nights, this partner, Akroma, gets played in combination with Rogue Rock, the little kobold. All right, Akroma is 5 white-white for a 6/6 angel. She has flying, first strike, vigilance, and trample.
Yeesh.
7 mana 6/6 with a bunch of stuff. And she also says, at the beginning of each combat, until end of turn, each other creature you control gets +1/+1 if it has flying, +1/+1 if it has first strike, and so on for double strike, death touch, haste, hexproof, indestructible, lifelink, menace, menace, protection, reach, trample, vigilance, and partner. This is each other creature. Akroma does not pump herself.
And this is each combat, which means if you pass turn, go to combat, Akroma's going to trigger again.
Boy, I just realized, because we just recorded the red episode, and I said Rogue Rocker would be a 3/4. It has partner. It would be a 4/5.
4/5. You're right. It counts partner.
Yeah.
But it doesn't count Skulk, which is really sad.
Is it sad?
I can't believe it.
So this is, and it triggers each combat, so it will trigger on your opponent's combats.
Yeah.
A lot of times these cards
that
only pump during
so
your turn.
It's so hard to attack you then.
Almost impossible, because Akroma, first of all, has vigilance, but also, as we're about to learn, a lot of your creatures will have a lot of keywords in this deck
yeah.
because one of the main things you want to do is give all your creatures all the keywords. So yeah, let's talk about some cards that would be good in this deck. I think the first one that everybody thinks of is Audric, Lunark Marshal, which is 3 and a white for a 3/3, but it says, at the beginning of each combat, creatures you control gain first strike until end of turn if a creature you control has first strike. The same is true for flying, death touch, double strike, haste, everything, Skulk included, not
yes.
partner, a bunch of stuff. But Akroma has flying, first strike, vigilance, trample. So with Audric out, all your creatures get at least those.
Yeah.
Which means that Akroma is now giving +4/+4 to all your other creatures. Plus they have flying, vigilance, trample.
First strike. Oh,
vigilance
my gosh.
Is big because now your creatures don't tap when they attack, and you're impossible to attack because all your creatures are huge on every combat.
Yeah, a very similar card is Concerted Effort, which is 2 white-white for an enchantment that pretty much does the same thing. At the beginning of each upkeep, creatures you control gain flying until end of turn if a creature you control is flying, and then the same for Fear, First Strike, Double Strike, Land Walk, Protection, Trample, and Vigilance. There are obviously a few differences here. Land Walk on Concerted Effort, yeah. Akroma cares about protection.
It's a little
bit so it's Concerted Effort. So it's going to be a keyword soup.
It's a little bit confusing once you start stacking these effects because, yeah, you have to be like, okay, how many do we have? All right, but Akroma only counts these ones and Audric counts these different ones. And it's a lot of accounting, but once you figure it out, you know, it's a lot of damage. Just all that ends up being.
I'll also say that if you build this deck, it's on you to
yes.
not make the mistakes because I'm going to trust whatever you say.
That's the problem. The problem is when you're the opponent, you have to kind of double check it because what if they're wrong and you should take less damage?
Yeah.
And sometimes the difference can be like 12 less damage.
Yeah, especially when you add double strike into the equation.
And then you just want a lot of low CMC creatures that have a lot of keywords because you get so much efficiency out of something like Aerial Responder, which is 1 white-white for a 2/3 dwarf soldier, but it has flying, vigilance, and lifelink. So now it becomes a 3 mana 5/6 flyer with lifelink and vigilance. Like,
wow.
Yeah, that's an insane card. What you want to do is have a bunch of these out when you play Akroma.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden they turn into like insane.
Just monsters.
Yeah.
There's the Lone Rider, which is a one white human knight with first strike and lifelink, and then it will transform if you gain three or more life into a 4/4 first strike trample lifelink. But because it has first strike and lifelink, Chroma gives it +2/+2.
So it's a 3/3, you hit him with it, that's three life you've gained, and now it flips over to become a 4/4 that'll also get first strike trample lifelink, so it's a 7/7. There's Danitha Capuchin, she's a 3-mana 2/2 with first strike vigilance and lifelink. There's Swiftblade Vindicator, this one's crazy. It's a 2-mana 1/1 red and white double strike vigilance and trample, so it's a 4/4 with double strike.
Jeez.
Hushbringer I thought was a really good card in this deck. It's 1 and a white for a 1/2 with flying and lifelink, and it says creatures entering the battlefield or dying doesn't cause abilities to trigger. Your deck is not focused on what a lot of creature decks are focused on. You don't care as much about dies triggers and enter the battlefield triggers, and this is also like a 3/4 flying lifelink with a chroma out, so I think a very powerful card in this deck to shut down other decks and also be good in your deck.
Yep, and then you put down cards that give all of your creatures an ability, because a chroma cares if a creature has an ability, and if they all have that ability, like what Audric does, that's great. So Archetype of Courage gives our creatures first strike and makes your opponent's creatures lose first strike.
Anger gives everything haste. Eroas gives everything Menace. And then, of course, Achroma triggers at the beginning of each combat.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have multiple combat steps in your turn, she'll actually buff them again.
Oh.
So Combat Celebrant gives extra combats. And I think the best one is Aurelia the Warleader, who is 2 red, red, white, white, 6-mana for a 3/4 angel, but she has flying, vigilance, and haste. So
she's a 6/7.
Yep. And whenever Aurelia attacks for the first time each turn, untap all creatures you control. After this phase, there is an additional combat phase.
So then she'll go up to a 9/10.
Yep. And that's with no other help.
Yeah.
And that means that Chroma gets to attack twice and all your other creatures. That Aurelia is a finisher, right? You play her. You hold her in your hand until you got a decent setup, play her, and just swing with everything twice. And yeah, the second time they attack, they're even bigger than before.
Yeah, this is nuts. There's a lot of power in this deck. Boros usually doesn't have the big time finishing power, and giving all of this evasion to the creatures with flying and stuff seems like a really easy way to just murder people.
Yeah, she is 7 mana, so that part's tough. So you probably want to pair her with red to get like all that punching power, but I could see also pairing her with green just for ramp and red, card draw. Yeah. Celestia or Naya seems pretty good.
Yeah.
Because you do want you're creature focused, so you still want those green creatures, but you do want rampant card draw, of course, because you want to get a chroma out onto the battlefield. So Rogrok's also a good one just because it has a bunch of keywords and costs very little.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about the next one.
All right, this is Alharu, Solemn Ritualist, 4 and a white for a 3/3 legendary human monk. When Alharu enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 other target creatures. Whenever a non-token creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it dies, create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. So 5 mana, get out there, put 2 +1/+1 counters on up to 2 other target creatures. And when those creatures die, if they're not a token, you get a 1/1 white spirit creature.
Yeah, so obviously you want to be able to put tokens on stuff, so there's going to be put counters on stuff. There's going to be all the normal generic +1/+1 counter synergies you can fit depending on which colors you choose to pair with. So Hardened Scales, the Ozolith, Branching Evolution, those are whatever. You can look up all the +1/+1 counter decks on EDH Rec and figure out what those cards are. Then I think you want cards that put +1/+1 counters on your creatures as they enter the battlefield, just very to powerful. Guarantee that they're going to have a counter for when they die. Because this create a spirit thing every time something of yours with a counter on it dies is pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So Good Fortune Unicorn is 1 green, white.
Name.
Yeah, for a 2/2. And whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a 1/1 counter on that creature.
Renata, Call to the Hunt is 2 green, green. And it says each other creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it.
Cathar's Crusade, another classic. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a 1/1 counter on it for each creature you control. Once you've got creatures and you're putting counters on them, the next section is probably aristocrat stuff, right? Because you basically get to sack your creatures twice. You sack them, counters on it, spirit comes out, you sack this spirit. So Taysa Karlov's really good because she doubles up dies triggers, so you get 2 spirits
and then when stuff dies. And then you have all the altars out as well.
Yep. All the altars allow you to sack the stuff. Anointed Procession, because now you'll get 2 spirits when something dies, or maybe 4 if you have Taysa out. Dictate of Erebos, because if you're going to be sacking stuff, obviously, it says whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent sacrifices a creature. And also, you don't care as much because your creatures, when they die, they're going to turn to spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So you could board wipe even and be like, yep,
right,
get rid of everything and I get spirits. That's cool. I guess board wipe doesn't need to be in conjunction with Dictate of Erebos. That doesn't make a lot of sense. You know what I'm saying?
Distinctive Arrow is kind of a board wipe on its own in a lot of games.
Yeah, and then finishers, I mean, we're getting bored of talking about them, but Blood Artist, Zulaport Cutthroat, Cruel Celebrant. You know, if you have all the altars and you're going to be sacking stuff for mana, then the big finishers in black, the X spells.
Corpse Knight as well is a new one. Yeah, so, you know, Torment of Hailfire, Exsanguinate, all that good stuff.
It kind of ends, that's sort of a boring ending, I suppose. These days we talk about Blood Artists and that stuff all the time, but it's that or like attack with all your big creatures with plus one, plus one counters, which, you know, we've seen that a lot too. So I don't think Alharo is like crazy powerful or anything, but you can do some stuff with it.
Yeah, again, you might want to do, right? It's a human, so there's some synergies there. In general, though, you know, Aristocrats is, I think it is the most popular deck on EDH Rec.
It's super high.
It's just a very, very popular deck, and there's, you know, now more ways to build it. So, go nuts!
All right, the next one's pretty interesting. It's Arden, Intrepid Archaeologist. 2W for a 2/2 Core Scout Legendary, of course. At the beginning of combat on your turn, you may attach any number of auras and equipment you control to target permanent or player.
Whoa.
So,
target permanent or player.
Yeah. So the first thing this made me think of was stuff with equip cost that's very high.
Yes.
Because this skips equip cost. So Colossus Hammer is 1 mana for an equipment that gives a creature plus 10, plus 10, and it loses flying. But its equip cost is 8.
Ugh.
But the thing is, you could play this on turn 1. Play Arden,
play a
2-drop, play Arden on turn 3, and then equip the Colossus Hammer, because you can equip the thing to any target permanent or player.
Right.
So slide the Colossus Hammer for free onto whatever the 2-drop was, and be swinging for 11 or 12 on turn 3.
Pretty good. Later on, Argentum Armor, which used to be a card I loved, but the equip cost was just too much. But now with Sigarda's Aid, Arden, and a bunch of other those types of spells, it's a 6-mana equipped, but when the equipped creature attacks, destroy target permanent.
Yep.
And it gives the creature plus 6, plus 6.
6 to equip is just so much. But again, if it's free, that becomes a lot better. Helm of the Host makes a copy of the equipped creature every combat, and it gains haste, and it loses legendary.
If you do that with Arden, you can now start splitting up your equipment to different things too, right?
Yeah, that's something interesting about Arden, I guess we didn't mention, was like you only get to do this once, so you can only slide things to one thing.
Oh, I see.
Right, but if you have two Ardens, you can slide things to two things, right?
It is at beginning of combat, so you have to do it. You have to wait for the next combat if you copy Arden.
Yep.
Interesting.
But Helm of the Host, 5 to equip, which is a lot and not something you want to do. Then there's all these equipment, because you get to attach the auras and the equipments to... You control the auras and the equipments, but you can attach it to target permanent or player. So you can actually give things to people or creatures that they control that they don't want. So Captain's Hook is an interesting one. It's 3 mana for an equipment. Equipped creature gets +2/+0, has menace, and is a pirate in addition to its other types. It's only 1 to equip, but it says whenever Captain's Hook becomes unattached from a permanent, destroy that permanent. So if you can slide it to somebody's thing and the next turn slide it to another thing, now you start every turn you're killing a creature by moving it around.
Can you attach Captain's Hook to like an enchantment? Because it says attach any number of auras equipment to target permanent or player.
I think it still has to be a legal target.
Oh, darn, because you throw this onto an enchantment and be like, ha ha,
now I can destroy
hook anything,
your lands. there's a card I've tried to put in a lot of decks, but it has a downside that is not really evident at first. It's Bloodthirsty Blade. 2 mana for an artifact equipment. It says equipped creature gets +2/+0 and is goaded. But it's 1 mana to attach Bloodthirsty Blade to target creature and opponent controls. Activate this ability only time you could cast a sorcery. My problem with Bloodthirsty Blade has been I want to put it in equipment decks, but I can't actually attach it to my own creatures.
Right.
I wish it had a 1 equip cost, so I could attach it to my own creature, swing with it, then put it on somebody else's creature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Arden kind of allows you to do that.
Right, right, right.
You know, at beginning of combat on your turn, you give me that Bloodthirsty Blade, put it on my creature, swing at you, and then I'll pay the 1 and put it back on another creature. And it also allows me to sort of move it around at that time, too.
Yeah, because you wouldn't really play this card otherwise. It's kind of hard to mess around with.
Now, this next one's super interesting.
Yeah, Assault Suit. So, typically, this is seen in decks that just want to give other creatures the Assault Suit and have it go around, because it's a 4-mana equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read the text, then we'll talk about it. Equipped creature gets +2/+2, has haste, and can't attack you or a planeswalker you control, and can't be sacrificed. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, you may have that player gain control of equipped creature until end of turn if you do untap. So the idea is give it to one of your crazy creatures, and then you give it to someone else.
And you give it to each player maybe every turn.
They can't sacrifice it.
Can't hit you with it.
Can't hit you, but people might still be able to block it with Death Touch or something, so it doesn't seem that great sometimes.
Yeah, and it's 3 to equip. here's the thing. With Assault Suit, you can now equip it to somebody else's creature.
And then have that pass around the table?
And then have that pass around to the table, yeah.
That's
because
hilarious.
You still control the Assault Suit.
Right.
So you may have that player gain control of equipped creature, but it's not your creature because you put it on somebody else's. This is an interesting way to sort of get around that. The thing that keeps this in check a little bit is you can only put it on your own creatures. Well, now Ardent allows you to, And also it makes it just so that creature can't attack you. So anything really scary, you just put the Assault Suit on it and you're like, well, at least it can't hit me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's talk on something I think is really interesting, which is the aura part of Ardent, not the equipment part.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are talking about this, and I think you can maybe build Ardent as like a curse theme, curse tribal deck, where the curses matter. There's all these curse cards in Magic. They're always bad. Nobody really plays them. Does Ardent make a curse deck viable? I think it kind of does.
It does. It gives you more flexibility, especially in a multiplayer game. So let's read a couple of them. Curse of Exhaustion, 2WW for an enchantment aura curse. Enchanted player can't cast more than one spell each turn.
So all the curses are enchant player, and they're all enchantments. So we can skip that part, right? From now on. Curse of Bloodletting. It says, if a source would deal damage to enchanted player, it deals double that damage instead.
Ooh. Curse of Death's Hold. Creatures enchanted players controls gets -1/-1.
There's Curse of the Nightly Hunt. Creatures enchanted player controls attack each combat if able.
Curse of Thirst. At the beginning of each enchanted player's upkeep, Curse of Thirst deals damage to that player equal to the number of curses attached to them.
Now that's a key one.
That's, yeah.
Curse of Misfortunes. At the beginning of your upkeep, that's you, the player that cast the curse, you may search your library for a curse card that doesn't have the same name as a curse attached to enchanted player, put it onto the battlefield attached to that player, then shuffle your library. So this
rough.
This one tutors curses onto the battlefield attached to the cursed player.
Yep.
Then there's some stuff that's not technically curses, but really could be.
Cruel Reality, 5BB enchant player. At the beginning of enchanted player's upkeep, that player sacrifices a creature or planeswalker. If they can't, they lose 5 life.
And then Overwhelming Splendor is kind of a finisher curse. It's 6WW, 8 mana. And it says, creatures enchanted player controls lose all abilities and have base power and toughness 1/1. Enchanted player can't activate abilities that aren't mana abilities or loyalty abilities. Basically ends the game for a player because all their creatures are just nothings.
Yeah.
But
you can move them around, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, and curses often, especially like Overwhelming Splendor or Cruel Reality, right? They want to sack a creature, but eventually they get to having no creatures and it's not doing that much. And I think at a lot of points, obviously, this is Magical Christmas Land a little bit because you paid 7 mana for this and then it would have to last 3 or 4 turns and then you want to move it around, but you might want to move it. That's what I think is easy to miss about the curses and why they're just not as good. Yes, moving them seems like it's a good idea, but in general, you think about the situations where you would move the curses and they're pretty rare. What you want to do is get 3 or 4 on one person that really hobbles them. And then before they die, because if they die, the curses are going to your graveyard, you move them, all of them onto somebody else's player or somebody else's, or to another player. Right. You know what I mean?
Or in case it's like, oh, we need to actually stop this player. They went off while that player got hobbled. You can kind of do that as well. Move them around the table. Maybe use them as political fodder.
That's true. Hey, tell you what. What if I take all the curses off you? But
I'll do anything.
Yeah. But, you know, you give me like 2 turns of leniency here because I don't want to take them off you if you're just going to kill me.
And promise that you won't put them back on.
Ever?
5 turns.
2 turns until the...
Okay, sure. I'll kill you before then.
No, you said you'd give me leniency for 2 turns.
Yeah, leniency. Right. I'll put you to 1.
All right. So I think you probably want to be in red and black to get the most curses.
Yeah, those are the colors of the curses generally, yeah.
Yeah, but you might want to go into blue. Blue has some interesting stuff. So blue has Paradox Haze, which is 2 in a blue. You enchant a player, and at the beginning of enchanted player's first upkeep each turn, that player gets an additional upkeep step after this step. A lot of curses trigger on upkeeps.
Right.
So this would be a way for the one that does damage or whatever, just to double
it up. Yeah. And then you got all the enchantment copies, like Mirror Maid, copy enchantment, so you can actually recreate a curse and double it up on someone because they're not legendary.
Control Magic is actually pretty good, I think, with Ardent, because you control magic a creature, and then somebody plays something better than the creature you stole, and you're like, I want that one instead. So just slide my aura over to that.
That's cool.
Darksteel Mutation, Imprisoned in the Moon, Song of the Dryads. These are all things where, like, if a better target comes out, you could slide it over.
Yeah.
It is important to note, like we said earlier on Ardent, you can't slide infinite amount of auras around. You can't be like, take Darksteel Mutation, move it over to this, also take the Control Magic, move it to that. You can move any number of your... enchantments or equipment to one target or player per turn, unless you do like Strionic Resonator, Lithoform Engine, something that doubles up that trigger. But otherwise, you're just moving you know, a few things to one thing. So it isn't like slide all my stuff around in a bunch of different ways every turn. It's move like a couple of things to one thing. That's all I can do this turn. So I think it's cool. I wish it was a little more open-ended, like I could move more things and then maybe it would be strong enough. I think this deck will mostly be kind of meme-y. I don't think the curse deck's really very good.
It's going to draw a lot of hate as well because you're definitely teaming up on someone to mess them up real bad.
But it's interesting at least.
Yeah, really interesting, in fact. I've never seen that text on the card before, so...
This next one, less interesting.
Yeah, it's Kelleth, Sunmane Familiar, 1 and a white for a 1/1. Whenever a commander you control attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it.
Yeah, so all the +1/+1 stuff we said with Alharu, you probably want to be in Celestnia or Abzan or Bant to get +1 counters.
Rayhan, Scales, Ozolith, yada.
Rayhan, Last of the Abzan maybe is a good one, cares about +1/+1
counters. Yeah, I like that.
Tana maybe, because when it attacks, you want it to be bigger because you make more tokens the bigger it is. I don't know. Extra combat steps because you get an extra +1/+1 counter on the combat steps.
It seems like you put this in the 99 of a deck that is very attacky and not worry about making this a partner, right?
It's probably not even worth it in those decks because just one +1/+1 counter is just not very good. Yeah, I just don't think Kelleth is that great. It's pretty boring.
Good for limited, potentially.
Yeah. So. Especially in limited, you're going to need things in your command zone just to make your deck work. So you might just be like, I'm going to grab this just so that I can at least add white to my deck if white is flowing.
Yeah, there are way too many ways to put +1/+1 counters on stuff. And just to have it, you know, whenever commander you control attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Having attack triggers, we just know, isn't that great.
So. Rogue Rock makes it into a 1/2 on turn 2.
Hey,
broken. Rogue Rock is broken.
All right,
we've got 4 more white partner commanders to talk about, but we're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
We are back talking about the 8 brand new partner commanders in mono white from Commander Legends. We passed through 4 of them so far. All of them care about combat, kind of. Except for Alharu.
There was the curse one, which was Arden, was cool. There's some interesting ones coming up.
Yeah, this one's interesting. Yeah. This is Livio, Oathsworn Sentinel. 1 and a white for a 2/2 legendary human knight. You can pay 1 and a white. No, you don't even have to tap it, to choose another target creature. Its controller may exile it with an Aegis counter on it. And then you can pay 2 and a white and tap Livio to return all exiled cards with Aegis counters on them to the battlefield under their owner's control. Interesting. So this is a flicker dot deck. For 5 mana, you can do the first ability and the second one and tap Livio to basically flicker one card.
Right, 5 mana, expensive, one blinking creature or flickering. You can also just exile something and not bring it back right away, so you can time this a little bit more.
This is something what White's starting to do a little bit more, by the way. Hide things in exile and then sort of swap them all back at once.
Yeah, and that's the other thing Livio does that's a little interesting. You can return all the exiled cards with Aegis counters on them, so you can sort of hide away 2 or 3 things and then pay the 3 mana to bring all of them back at once. That allows for some combo-y type of stuff, and it's pretty interesting. It's expensive, 5 mana, plus you have to tap Livio, so it can't even do it the turn it comes into play.
But for 1 and a white, you can kind of hide things away, too. If a board wipe happens, you know, maybe there's a creature on the other side of the board that needs to stick around. You can pay 1 and a white and be like, hey, do you want to keep it? You can exile it.
Well, your own stuff, right? And Livio only cares if it has an Aegis counter, so Livio actually remembers if you're like, board wipe happens, and you go, okay, pay 6 mana, exile these 3 things with Aegis counters on it. Livio dies to the board wipe, goes back to my command zone. I recast it, and then once I can tap it again, he just looks and says, what's got Aegis counters? I'll bring him back. Doesn't care if he died in the interim or not. Yep. Like a lot of these effects kind of care about. Yeah,
which is kind
of
cool.
I like that. So you can get that stuff back. You can kind of board wipe protection. The first thing this makes me think, though, is like you really want haste with Livio, because what you don't want to have happen is that scenario, and then you got to wait like a full rotation of the table. You really want to play Livio, activate it that turn, get all my stuff back right away, right? Yeah,
5 mana to do that.
Yeah. So Garner the Blood Flame seems pretty good. 3 black red for a 3/3 human warrior with flash, but when she enters the battlefield, return to your hand all creature cards in your graveyard that were put there from anywhere this turn, and other creatures you control have haste. So she's a way to board wipe protect pretty big time, and I think Livio can be like, get a decent board, hold most of my mana open because I'm going to do some blinky stuff, and then if a board wipe happens, I'll save some of it, cast Garna, maybe get some of it back to my hand, cast Livio, has haste now because of Garna.
Get the Aegis stuff back.
Yeah, exactly.
Rebuild your board really quickly, play the enters the battlefield, leaves the battlefield game.
Yep.
Samut, Voice of Descent also gives your creatures haste.
She also untaps another target creature, so Livio can maybe be used twice. You'd have to have a lot of mana, but...
Yeah, you have Urbrask the Hidden, which makes your creatures your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped. But again, creatures you control have haste in red.
Yep.
Lightning Greaves is the classic. I love this card, Crashing Drawbridge. It's a 2-mana artifact creature. You can tap it to give your creatures haste until end of turn.
Play this card. This card is very powerful. I'm putting it in more and more decks. This is similar to like an anger type effect because
it's colorless.
Yeah, and it blocks stuff early, stops aggression against you, and like really your 3/3 CMC or plus commander comes out and doing its thing immediately with Crashing Drawbridge. It's pretty great.
Yep.
Then you want to reduce the cost of Livio's abilities. So if you can get this down to just white, if you do some things. So there's like Zerda, the Dawnbringer, there's Training Grounds, there's Heartstone, there's Biomancer's Familiar. All of these reduce the cost of activated abilities, and it will reduce both sides of the ability. So just white to exile a thing now, and just white or maybe 1 and a white plus tap Livio to bring all the stuff back. It's a big difference between 5 mana and 3 mana or 5 mana and 2 mana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this next one's pretty cool.
Lumbering Battlement. Again, this is sort of what white has been pushing towards recently. 4 and a white for a 4/5 with Vigilance. When it enters the battlefield, exile any number of other non-token creatures you control until it leaves the battlefield, and then Lumbering Battlement gets +2/+2 for each card exiled with it. However, you can exile Lumbering Battlement with Livio to have those creatures return, and then you can have the Lumbering Battlement come back and exile those creatures again.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways, especially once you have haste, you can start doing some interesting things with Lumbering Battlement, because it's kind of like Livio allows you to exile all your creatures and bring them back, which makes it a lot more mana efficient. We'll get into that in a second. Livio's ability is targeted. So that first ability is 1 and a white, choose another target creature.
Oh.
It can be your opponent's. Its controller may exile it with an Aegis counter on it. So this keeps you from like exiling their creature forever if they don't want you to. However, that targets a creature. And as we know, there are many effects that if you can target a creature with an ability are really good for you, like Dismiss into Dream, which is an enchantment for 7 mana, but it says each creature your opponents control is an illusion in addition to its other types, and says when this creature becomes the target of a spell or ability, sacrifice it. So they're like, no, I don't want to exile it. That's okay, you're going to sacrifice it anyway.
Yeah, because you're going to Livio target it, Dismiss into Dream, the trigger goes on top, and then they have to sacrifice it anyway.
I think in that case you actually do let it be exiled with an Aegis counter on it, because Livio is going to have to activate that second ability at some point, right? And bring it back.
Well, do you get to choose the order? Let's say I pay 1 and a white and target your creature.
Oh, you're
right. Dismissing the Dream triggers on the target.
No, you're right. You don't even have the chance.
I don't think you have the chance unless they get to order the triggers.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's sad.
Willbreaker is very similar, but instead of them sacrificing the creature, you get control of it. And then the trigger on the stack of Livio's of may add an Aegis counter is under the Willbreaker steals it trigger, right?
Oh,
so then you can basically be like, no, I'm not going to exile it. Thank you. I'll just keep it.
Smart.
Sneak Attack. Really, really good. Sneak Attack. Boy, did this set make Sneak Attack really, really even better than it was.
Always makes it so good because you can exile the creatures you put on the battlefield and then they don't get sacrificed at the end of turn.
Right. So you just put it out for 1 red mana, attack with it, get an into the battlefield's effect, and then you're supposed to sack it at the beginning of the next end step, but you go, I'll just exile it with an Aegis counter instead and bring it back later. And when you bring it back, it doesn't remember the Sneak Attack trigger, so.
Yep.
Okay, here's an interesting one. Village Bellringer. 2 and a white for a 1/4 with flash. Whenever it enters the battlefield, untap all creatures you control. So this is a combo-tastic card with Livio, and if you have a couple of like mana dorks or something, you could tap them all,
right?
Exile the Village Bellringer, bring it back with Livio. It'll untap Livio when it comes back, untap your mana
everything
dorks
else.
And stuff, and now maybe you can get into a loop where you're doing more that mana. Again.
Yep.
Intruder Alarm, very similar, right? Because creatures don't untap during their controller's untap step, but whenever a creature comes into play, untap all creatures. So you got ETBs coming in and out, untapping Livio, who's then retapping to re-exile stuff, so they come back, blah, blah, blah.
Stick that with Dockside Extortionist, make a bunch of treasures, and then you can pretty much go infinite, I think, at a certain point, because you just keep untapping, using the mana to tap Livio, and then boom, they'll come back. Do the same thing with Dockside Extortionist, as long as you're able to make enough manas.
Peregrine Drake, same thing, because it untaps five of your lands when it ETBs. So again, that's enough to pay for all of Livio's stuff. So if you're netting mana on any of these exchanges, you are just kind of going nuts.
Yeah.
With infinite enter the battlefield effects, infinite untaps, and things like that.
So tons of little blinky combos there. And I like how you wrote that. You might actually want Chromatic Lantern in this deck because you need a lot of white mana to use Livio multiple times in the turn.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Did you get yelled at a lot when we said Chromatic Lantern was not good? Which, by the way, it's not. Come at me. But... But in this deck, I think Chromatic Lantern actually you might want, because you need so much white mana to activate Livio that like you don't want to be in a situation where, oh man, I only have three white mana, but I really need six to do enough, you know, because I get Training Grounds or whatever out.
I only got a little bit of guff, fortunately.
I got a lot. But I stand by it. Chromatic Lantern is bad in most decks. It's good in the Livio deck, though.
All right. Prava of the Steel Legion is up next. It's two in the white for a 1/4 Cat Soldier. As long as it's your turn, creature tokens you control get +1/+4. And you can pay 3 and a white to create a 1/1 white soldier creature token. Ah, so all your 1/1s become 2/5s.
Right.
Pretty interesting.
That's a huge stat bump.
Pretty big butts.
Big butts. So obviously, token creators, right? Anointed Procession, Divine Visitation, Cathar's Crusade is not a token creator, but it works in that package.
Right, right.
Blah, 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 blah. Let's talk about the Butts Matter cards, the Toughness Matter cards.
I think you pair this with Ikra Shiddiqui, which is a 3/7, and whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you gain life equal to that creature's toughness.
It's pretty great with a bunch of 2/5s.
Yeah, this is the Butts Matters deck. Tons of lifelink.
Assault Formation and Huatli and Doran that allow things to deal damage based on their toughness rather than their power. Tristani Celestia's Voice cares about tokens and also toughness. So populates and makes more tokens.
Yeah, so you gain 5 life for each of the 3. For 3 and a white, gain 5 life, make a 2/5, and you can populate that later. That actually seems really good.
Sidar Kondo gives all your stuff flanking. If it has low power, your stuff will probably have low power and high toughness. So it just works good in that package. Then there's a bunch of those board wipes that care about how big, the power of the creatures.
Wave of Reckoning, 4 and a white. Each creature deals damage to itself equal to its power. This will typically get rid of most things on the battlefield. Not everything, but your creatures will not die because their toughness is +1/+4.
Right.
Which is pretty nuts. And also Prava itself is 1/4, so that will never die.
Retribution of the Meek is another board wipe similar to that. Then there's Uvenvald Observer, which is 4 green-green for a 6/6 tree folk, but whenever a creature you control with toughness 4 or greater dies, draw a card.
All
your tokens now draw you cards when they die. I also thought Tana the Bloodsower might be a good pairing for this because it makes a ton of tokens, and now all those tokens will be
2/5s. And you can still play Assault Formation in that deck.
Yeah.
However, so you don't get Huatli.
Yeah, you don't get Doran, you don't get,
Oh, yeah, and then because you're making a lot of tokens, you know, with Tana and you're in red, then you can play Impact Tremors and Purphoros.
Right, yeah, it gives you access to red is good, gives you haste for your tokens, gives you all these when creatures enter the battlefield, deal damage type of things. Grandlord Rada is pretty good with tokens.
Yep, because you can just make a bunch of tokens and add a bunch of red and green mana.
Extra combat steps, again, good with tokens. So red gives you a lot. Oh, yeah, Pyrohemia seems good in this particular deck. Yeah, this
is really good. So you can pay red to deal one damage to each creature and player. Typically, this is going to kill your creatures if you're not careful, but with such high toughness, you get to do this a lot more and basically board wipe with it a lot.
Yeah, you can do it up to like 3, right? And nothing's going to die.
I mean, 4, technically.
Yeah, I mean, probably will die if you do 4, probably not what you want to do, but, you know.
Yeah.
Kaidel, I thought, also might be a decent pairing just because
it's
green and blue. And if you ever make infinite mana, then Prava makes infinite tokens because it's 3 and a white to create a 1/1 white soldier token. Now, you'd have to figure out some way to filter Kaidel's mana into white, right? Because it makes colorless. But that might be, you get green, you get blue, so you get the best two colors. And then, you know, just infinite mana is kind of easy to create. Yeah.
Play your old Prismite.
Yeah. Or is Gemstone
Prava
Array or something.
Is Prava the new Thrasios?
No.
Okay.
But Prava's good with Thrasios, just like everything.
Yeah.
All right, 2 to go.
Yeah, Prava, I like it. Pretty interesting. All right, next up. Radiant Sarah Archangel, 6 and a white for a 6/4 legendary creature angel with flying. Tap another untapped creature you control with flying. Radiant, Sarah Archangel, gains protection from the color of your choice until end of turn. This is kind of womp womp.
Boring.
The art is really neat, though. I mean, take a look at that huge sword. She's got little lions next to her.
The art is sick.
Yeah, the art is sick is by Chris Rallis, who's a great artist. But yeah, this doesn't seem like there's not much you can do here, especially for 7 mana.
Yeah. Yeesh. You know, we've got Siani, who's in the blue as far as one of the partners. Siani, uh-huh. Eye of the Storm, which cares about flying creatures. So there's this flying tribal thing that maybe kind of matters. This is one where it's just relatively boring. You know, I think you probably want to combine it with stuff that makes flying tokens.
Yeah.
Spirits, Thopters. But other than that, you know, 7 mana for a 6/4 with flying, yeah.
You just give it protection, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that great. I mean, you're not going to go Voltron-y with this, and it just seems like, you know, it seems like there's one sort of, in this case, there are kind of two duds in the white commander group,
yeah.
Kelleth and Radiant, which just seem better for limited in draft.
Yeah. We're not going to talk much or any more about Radiant. There's doesn't seem like a ton of exciting things you can do. So last one's interesting, though. It's Rebecca, Architect of Ascension. 3 and a white for a 3/4 legendary human artificer. Says artifacts you control have protection from each converted mana cost among artifacts you control. So if you have a mana rock that costs 2 and a mana rock that costs 3, all your artifacts have protection from things that are 2 and 3 CMC.
Ah, okay. So if you have your Soul Ring, right, is out, you cannot Shatterstorm it, right? Because it's one CMC spell. Or not Shatterstorm, like, or Shenanigans type thing.
Yeah.
Where it's a 1 red kill something.
Yeah, exactly.
Shattering Spree, I think, is what I was thinking of.
Now, you have to be careful, because protection can be a negative. It can keep you from affecting your own creatures,
mm-hmm.
like equipping. So, like, notably, Silas Wren and a new partner commander named Armix are both artifact creatures.
Oh.
And so if you have protection from, if those things have protection from like 2 CMC, then you can't equip a Lightning Greaves to it because that's a 2 CMC artifact. So you have to be a little bit careful with this. The first thing I thought of with Rebecca was just turning things into artifacts. So you could control, like somebody plays something, it's not an artifact, but you turn it into an artifact and now you're protected from it, right?
Right.
And, your artifacts you control are protected from it. Obviously,
yeah.
You're going to have a lot of like artifact creatures and things like that. And also like they you know, try to do an activate ability and you're like, I turn that into an artifact. So it's coming from artifact source and now it's,
right.
You know, my thing's protected from it. So we've got like liquid metal coating, which just taps and makes something in any artifact permanent into an artifact.
End of turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thrawn Forge
does the same thing.
For a creature.
Yeah. Ashnod's Transmogrant, which you can sacrifice.
Getting pretty janky, but
I mean, this is seems like a janky deck. Maybe the best card in this deck, then, is Mycosynth Lattice, which makes all permanents artifacts in addition to their other types. And then cards that aren't on the battlefield, spells and permanents, are colorless.
Mm-hmm.
But players can spend mana, though it's in any color, so that's interesting.
Phyrexian Scriptures is a saga that turns things into artifacts.
And it says destroy all non-artifact creatures, too, at the end of it. So
yeah.
If you made this an artifact deck.
And you want to make Rebecca into an artifact with these a lot of times,
yeah.
To protect it or to not have it die to Phyrexian Scriptures. Then there's Memnarch, a famous one that turns things into artifacts and then steals those artifacts.
So
it's going to be one of the best cards in the deck. I figured if you're going to do all this, you might as well put Karn the Great Creator in there, because it says activated abilities of artifacts your opponent's control can't be activated. So this gives you the ability to, hey, I turn your stuff into artifacts and you can't use it.
Activated ability, you can't use it.
Especially if you turn like lands and stuff into artifacts.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah. Mycosynth in that is pretty much game ender.
Yeah.
And you might want to add red. I think red and blue are probably the two colors you're looking at the most, because you get Goblin Welder, Goblin Engineer, all the red artifact removal, because Liquid Metacobalt is like, turn that into an artifact, kill it. You know,
yep.
So even if it's an enchantment, you might be able to get rid of stuff in those cases with
That's
red.
Cool.
Although you're in white, you can already get rid of enchantments, but you know what I'm saying. Then there's like Saheeli, Sublime Artificer. Jimmy, you know this one really well. You killed me with it once.
I do. This turns, you know, you make servo artifacts and then you can make artifacts into other copies of other artifacts. So you can do a lot of interesting shenanigan-y things here. I think blue and red is right, though. Those are definitely the artifact colors. So you're playing Jeskai, essentially.
Storm the Vault, which basically flips over and becomes Tolarian Academy.
Pretty darn good.
Joyra, Weatherlight Captain. You get to draw, because you're going to have a lot of artifacts in the deck.
Yeah.
You get to draw cards.
Chief Engineer gives your artifact spells Convoke, so your creatures help cast those spells, which means you're just going to go off that way as well.
Yeah, Emry, Lurker of the Lock, Master Transmuter. Blue and red give you a lot. Now, the only other consideration would maybe be adding black and blue, so you can get access to like Tezzeret.
Yes, Master of the Bridge. This was a box topper, but it gives your creatures and planeswalkers affinity for artifacts, so they cost less.
Yep. And then you get like Marionette Master, which cares about when artifacts die. It's kind of the blood artist of artifacts, right?
My favorite.
Yeah, Bolas's Citadel, Cranial Plating. Those kind of open up if you go into black, which is I could see maybe you wanting to do. Green in general doesn't have a ton of artifact synergy, so probably not a consideration. Although it's green, so you get a lot of ramp, so maybe you would even think about it.
Yeah, I see Rebecca Moore as a card in the 99. However, white is typically not the Artifact Matters deck archetype, because this just seems like a really good utility, right? To protect your stuff. You don't
yeah, I mean, white's on like Metalcraft and some other stuff, and they care about equipment. So yeah. I would like if they pushed more towards white being an artifact color, but you're right. At the moment, definitely blue and red are the big ones, right?
Yeah. Overall, what would you grade white? Because it's not looking too hot for me. There's a few just duds in here in terms of what they're doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some decent stuff. I think Kelleth and Radiant are pretty boring, unfortunately. Ardent's kind of cool with the curse thing. Rebecca seems like it could be interesting, not crazy powerful. I mean, there's nothing like...
At least they're doing newish things.
Maybe the most
things.
Powerful?
Yeah.
Maybe?
A Chroma just like pure power level, maybe.
But it's a 7 CMC, like, you know, yeah. Just pump your team type of card.
In terms of like looking at the red commanders, I would build like 3 or 4 of them, maybe even 5 or 6. The white ones, I can see myself building 1.
Yeah.
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 Maybe Arden if I want to go interestingly with the
Yeah, it's too bad. White, thing. Just we continue to hammer on it. I feel like it's boring for us to keep saying it, but it keeps being true, which is just white just does not seem to get the same amount of cool stuff that everybody else gets. And so the problem is that the gap between white and the other colors just keeps widening, and it's already in last place. Like, it needs to get more stuff than the other colors so it can start to catch up. Yeah, it is what it is.
We'll see. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while. We know that Magic develops several years in advance. So I would say at the end of next year, if white does not have significant improvements,
we're going to be sad pandas.
Yeah, we'll tweet about it or something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there are the people at Wizards, Gavin, Rosewater, have been mentioning this more and more. So I think they're aware of the problem, which is good, right? Because if they're aware of it, I believe that they will start to take steps to correct it.
Yep. So to the listeners, let us know what you thought about the white commanders from Commander Legends, the partner ones. Let us know what you're most excited about, if there's any synergies or combos that we missed. And of course, if you know a pairing that we completely didn't say and was going to be the coolest pairing ever.
Yeah, whatever your favorite partner is, what do you want to pair it with? There's so many choices. Anxious to hear. And then if you want to get a hold of any of these cards, or you want to buy a booster box so you can draft Commander Legends with your friends, you want to just pre-order singles or whatever, cardkingdom.com/commandzone is the place to go to do all that stuff. They're going to get you your cards the fastest and in the best condition of anybody out there. When new sets come out, you really want to get your hands, like, I want everybody out there to have their hands on these cards as soon as possible. Card Kingdom makes that promise. They're going to get that stuff to you faster than anybody else.
Yeah, also, you may be the first person ever to build that partner combo
it's
deck
true,
in the world,
right?
Literally.
Because there are
so many possibilities. Yeah, and there's really so many different ways to take the deck, so I'm really excited to see what people say about it. And of course, when you get those cards, protect them to the utmost with Ultra Pro. Ultra Pro gives you deck boxes, sleeves, playmats, backpacks, things to hold your playmats in. Basically, they have been doing this for so long, they know exactly what Magic players want and need to take their stuff out to their friend's house over the holidays. I'm sure that people are going to be playing more. And as the world slowly starts to open back up in certain areas as well, you're going to want to make sure that your stuff is clean and protected. So Ultra Pro has the playmats to do that, machine washable, has all the art from Commander Legends so you can customize it to what you're doing as well. You can really, again, be the first person in the world to do a lot of this stuff with Commander Legends. And Ultra Pro helps you make sure that when other people see it happening, they go, that's cool.
That looks as cool as possible.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we use Ultra Pro for, you know, we're obsessed with quality here at the Command Zone, right? I think that's pretty obvious. When we make our own Game Nights themed sleeves, the Kickstarter information is in the more info box below the video. We have Ultra Pro make the sleeves. When we make our playmats, we have Ultra Pro make the playmats because it has to meet a quality standard that stays in tune with the quality standard we have for everything. And Ultra Pro is the one that we personally trust. So,
and they've mastered the art sleeves now. They've been doing it for the longest. They know what they're doing.
Yep. All right. No end step on these partner videos because there's going to be a lot of them and we don't have that much cool stuff to talk about. But big thanks to our editing, graphics, and logistics team, which is Manson Lung, Lady Danger, Ashlyn Rose, Craig Blanchett, Jake Boss, Josh Murphy, Alfred Estaca, Patrick Don, and Sam Waldo.
And Jeffrey Palmer, as always, makes a lot of the living card animations behind us on set that also start our show on the video version. So you can find Jeffrey on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
And we'll see you for the next billion Commander Legends videos.
There's so many. Peace.
attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.